B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Matt.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
First and 10 for the 46. Shotgun snap on the handoff to Burka. Flips it to Harry on the reverse. Harry gets outside.
Okay.
He runs to the 50. Harry to the 45. 40 of Buffalo.
Woo.
Upended. He spills head over heels. A somersault to the Buffalo 37-yard line.
And the quarterback downfield blocking off the reverse. Another reverse we haven't seen. Hit it to Burkhead. He flips it to Harry.
And Tom Brady with a cup block on Tre'Davious White.
Good. He'll get him.
I'm pretty poor at just about everything other than throwing the ball. So I was trying to just get in his way. But it was you know, a good hard run by Nikhil. And, you know, it was a good play in the game.
Fourth and final hour. Felger and Mass. Mike's out today. Big win for the Patriots on Saturday night. Murray's alongside. Marshall Hook here to give us headlines. I do have to admit one thing. I get it. Brady's 42. Okay? Every time Brady does something outside of throwing the football, anytime he runs or, God forbid, makes a block, it's like, yeah, did you see Brady? Did you see him? Yeah, I saw him. Yeah, I saw it. It's called a football. You know, he's a football player. He can make blocks, which you hated, apparently, Murray.
Hate strong. I found it way too risky. You know, a 42-year-old quarterback who's diving headfirst for a block, and I understand why people get up for it. It's a ballsy play. And no matter what the age, a quarterback, I mean, you know, you got to protect the quarterback, obviously, right? But at 42, diving headfirst, and get a knee to the helmet, you're concussed, you're out for a few weeks, you're now in a must-win against the Miami Dolphins next week because you got to get the bye. Like, okay, they probably won it with Jarrett Stidham, but you're obviously better with Brady. I just think it was too risky. I thought it was kind of dumb, so I didn't necessarily hate it. I just thought it was kind of stupid.
Okay, so look, I didn't mind it. I think Brady knows how to protect himself on those. He does the same thing every time. I'd say, you know, 9 times out of 10, he misses the guy completely and nothing happens.
Ole.
So last night, or Saturday night, rather, he made a good block. I mean, it was an effective block anyway, and it helped. White would have run over there, and I don't know, maybe Harry gets a couple of yards less or whatever, but what it tells me more than anything is that Brady's invested, which in the big games he always is. I mean, Brady's never afraid to lay it on the line in the big games and pay the price. And look, he did it later in the game, too, when he tried to run into the end zone on a third down play that ultimately I think they settled for a field goal on that one, if I remember right, and that made it 17-16. Mm. But he tried to run it in on third down, get a touchdown. It was a quarterback sneak in there. I mean, he was involved and he was engaged in the game. And that, to me, it's not surprising given the importance of the game. But to me, it makes every bit of difference in who the Patriots are on the field in 2019. When Brady's out there and he believes in his teammates and he believes in the cause, I think the other guys play better. I do, and I, you know, if you want to tell me they're unrelated, then you can tell me they're unrelated. And I mean you, the listener. I think there's a direct cause and effect there. The last few weeks, go back to the Houston game. Brady's losing his mind on the field, throws the helmet, the whole thing, they get their asses kicked. And it looks to me like guys like Myers, Harry, maybe even Sanu to a degree, guys who haven't been around him quite as long as others, like the whole operation gets affected, let alone the offensive line, which hasn't been able to block all year long. Then the last couple of weeks, I feel like he's toned it down. And I said this at the time, this is not revisionist history, but I thought Brady was really making more of an effort to keep his emotions in check. Then they come out this past week and offensively have what was arguably, if not inarguably, their best offensive game of the season. And is it a coincidence that all of a sudden guys are catching passes and making plays when the quarterback's not airing them out and throwing temper tantrums? Like, I do think that there is any chance they have is going to require Brady to buy in.
Yeah, there might be a correlation there, especially when I look at someone like Jacoby Myers, who I think was targeted 3 times and made 3 catches, because he's even been on record saying, you know, he's basically terrified to disappoint and drop a ball for Tom Brady. So maybe that makes him a little bit more loose. But I don't know. I'd like to think that maybe the tough love expedited N'Keal Harry's learning curve. And how did it affect Mohamed Sanu? You know, Brady's in a better mood, and Sanu was a straight-up liability out there.
Yeah, he sucked in this game.
So,
but I'll tell you what, if you get 4 guys turning in the right direction and 1 going the wrong way, I'll take that. Because, again, I think Lacoste has been better lately. Now, maybe it's health-related, right? He was banged up early in the year.
Yeah, high ankle sprain, yeah.
Right, they could never get him on the field. Burkhead's another one who's hurt all the time. So there's a health element to this whole thing, too. But I do feel like they just all fed off of him. I think that, you know, again, he's Tom Brady. They're going to feed off of him. You know, I meant to ask you, too, and I forgot to bring this up earlier, Murray. The ice pack on the elbow after the game. Billy, we have that cut, too, don't we? Brady talking about the elbow. Just quickly, Murray, what do you make of that? Because did you hear what he said after the game, first of all, about the elbow?
Yeah, that it was basically fine, and he worded it weird, too, once we hear it. Like, it didn't really make much sense, and I know that in his weekly interview that he does with our competitor, he basically was like, ah, no, I'm fine. I'm as healthy as I've been. So why come out with the ice pack? Is it for show? Like, what the hell is he doing here?
Billy, did we have the cut? Yeah,
let's Tom, go. We saw you throwing the ball pretty well tonight, and you came off the injury report this week. How are you feeling at this point in the season?
I feel good. This is a new injury. This isn't the old elbow, so I'll be fine. Thank you, guys. Appreciate your concern.
Not the old elbow. That's the part that doesn't make any sense. Well, no. It is the same elbow. That's the same elbow you came up with the ice pack on after the loss to Kansas City. It's the same elbow that you've been on the injury report for. What the hell are you talking about?
Probably not the old elbow injury, like the old problem we had on the elbow. Yeah, I don't know that I'd buy it, though.
But it was interesting, right? Like, all of a sudden, a week after he couldn't throw, he couldn't hit the side of a barn, for crying out loud. He was chucking the ball all over the place, at least for him.
Did you take the thanks for your concern as a true thank of concern, or maybe a little bit of a wise acidness?
I don't know. I think he doesn't like the stuff about his injuries being out there to begin with. So, you know, it was like, see, I was 26 and 33 tonight, and I still have the ice on my arm, so go F yourself. You guys don't know what the hell you're talking about. Maybe there's some of that. To which I would say, again, good. It tells me that Brady sort of invested again. Because he was dynamite in this game. And what Belichick said about him being invested, and what Belichick said about just the whole operation, I think a lot of what Bill said after the game was related to Brady. Rob in the recliner. Go ahead, Rob.
Hey, Merry Christmas, boys. Hook, you look great, by the way. Keep that up.
Thanks, man.
Before I get to the Ravens real quick, Layden Roberts, I think that's going to be the best bet for the playoff weekend. Him scoring a touchdown is going to be a minimum 10-1, 15-1.
Feels like a good prop bet, sure.
Oh, absolutely. And so back to the Ravens. So they've never been in this one seed before. They're sitting everybody next week. They're going to sit for 21 days. How's that going to work out for them? It hasn't worked out well for the Colts in the past.
Rob, what would you do?
Honestly, I'd play them for at least a half. See how the game goes.
Okay, so I'd sit them.
Yeah, they got banged up. Ingram, Andrews got banged up in that game yesterday against Cleveland. There was a quad injury or something going on in the last couple of weeks with Lamar Jackson. I think that's the right thing to do. Look, I wish the Patriots could rest everyone this week, but they have to win this game so they can get the bye.
I mean, to me, the layoff in football is worth more. It's worth more. And again, he'll still be practicing. He's just not going to play in the game and take any hits. So it's not like they're going to lose. I don't think they're going to lose much in the way of precision or anything of the like. I don't think you're going to see that. I would totally rest them. Paul's in Rhode Island. Paul, go ahead.
Thank you for taking my call. Have a nice Christmas.
You too.
Okay. Tony and Murray, I just think that they finally bet on the guys that were like the game I watched last night. Everybody was hurt in the Philadelphia game, and then they had no choice but to go to the second team. The second guys that go into any game.
Yeah, Paul, I'm going to let you go because I'm not sure where he was going. Maybe he means the backups on any team aren't as good. If that's what he's getting at, fine. I would tell you that I would say all top to bottom, the offense ran better in this game. Everything was efficient.
It was their best game since Pittsburgh in week one.
I mean, and the line play is no small part of it either. And maybe we haven't spent enough time on that, Murray. I thought the line in this game was good. I thought the pass protection was good. Brady had time when he needed it. The run blocking was good. You know, it felt to me like they were aggressive. They were all dialed in right out of the chute, pretty much. Again, they were moving the ball in that first possession until the Burkhead fumble. Then they get behind. It would have been easy to get discouraged or demoralized. They went right down the field and got themselves a touchdown. Then they went down the field and got themselves a field goal.
Yeah, but it did dip a bit when Cannon went out with the ankle injury. So that's, again, something you're going to have to keep an eye on because injury has been an issue in that, you know, on that line this whole year outside of Joe Tooney.
Absolutely. I'll tell you what, though. I don't mind Newhouse as much at right right tackle as they do left.
Yes, much more serviceable at right tackle than left tackle.
I mean, left tackle? Holy crap, is that scary.
Human turnstile.
Wow. TC's in Somerville. TC, go ahead.
What's up, Maserati? You're 1,000% right. Going for that on fourth down before the half was over was the stupidest thing, and this is why. The team had no life. Buffalo had no life. The only way they're going to get life is if they stop you and put some points on the board. That turned the whole game around. You don't go for it there at the bottom line. You gave them life.
So, again, I didn't like the decision to go for it. Murray didn't have a problem with it. He disliked the play call more than he did the decision. Marshall, you're another one who thought you were okay with them going for it because you're putting the 100% pedal to the metal.
I mean, this is, to me, a classic, you know, not revisionist history, but it's an easy thing to question, you know, when it didn't work. Had that worked, it would have, not a nail in the coffin, but boy, that would have been a dejected Buffalo team headed into the locker room at the half. Even if they didn't score, but they likely would have, even if they didn't, you keep them out of the hands, you're driving, you're doing all of that. I think that, and it was so close to working. If Mohamed Sanu can make a single block, yeah, I have no problem with that call whatsoever.
So I just feel like that the Patriots got Belichick. Got a little caught up in his own offense's performance there in the first half. Maybe he's trying to give him a little boost of confidence, you know, really trying to get him rolling. That's which I get. I mean, I understand the logic. I just think let's not get too crazy here with that offense. The defense is still the better unit. And if that changes, then fine. We'll adjust later on. This is the first time we've seen the offense play well. They play well for two quarters, and all of a sudden he's punting. Or going for it, rather, at the 41-yard line instead of pinning Buffalo back. The Bills got 10 points in the first half of that game. The Patriots pretty much gave them all 10. The fumble on the first one by Burkhead and then the decision to go for it in the long pass play. Buffalo should have been shut out in the first half, if you really think about it. It should have been 10-0 or worse. Instead, you let them back in the game. I didn't like the decision. I hated the play call more, but I didn't like the decision. Belichick on Brady. We'll tell you what he said when we come back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger and Mass.
I love it.
You were right, Mass.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bore my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
What's the mental toughness of this team, and what's it mean to you?
It means continuing to do the right thing for the team when things aren't going right for you personally. That could involve a lot of different things, but, you know, sometimes when things aren't going your way, the way you want them to go, you still do what's best for the team and do what you can to make the team better. And you know, we have 53 guys in there and a coaching staff that does that on a daily basis. So that's all you can ask for.
Bill Belichick after the game again on Saturday. I don't know. I suppose I've never really thought about it in the most, you know, precise terms. Like, what exactly is mental toughness? If you had asked me that before the game on Saturday, I'd say it's the ability to sort of persevere, keep going. And particularly when, you know, we say a team gets down, or they're down 13-0 on the road, or they're down 28-3 in the Super Bowl. You're going to pack it in or you're going to keep playing? To me, that's sort of the mental toughness, being able to control your emotions and just focus on the task, keep going forward. Maybe what Belichick said there is the same thing. I don't know, the way he worded it, and when he says it's, you know, the ability to do what's right for the team or do what's best for the team, even when things aren't going right for you personally. To do the right thing for the team, even when things aren't going right for you personally. If I said if I asked you, name one player that message was directed to on the team, who would you name?
No, considering the season, Brady. But I didn't go there with this. And even it's because I think you and Hook are in the majority, because doing the post game with Beatles Saturday night, like immediately, like the Twitter feed, and we're taking calls on it. Like, did you hear what Belichick said? Belichick's taking shots at Brady. Like, I don't know, considering like 28-3 or coming back against the Ravens in that divisional game, in 2014, down to 14 points twice in that game. I just, what he says there, I think, is more of his philosophy of coaching. You know, it's he could be talking about anyone on the team. But see, because of the season, I get it. Like, everyone goes to Brady, and because of his pity party that he's had, even when they're winning games.
See, but I don't think it's a shot at Brady, per se, Murray. This is where I disagree with the Twitterati. You know, it's like, not that I ever agree with the Twitterati, for crying out loud. I think it's sort of a bad sign, I think, that I'm in line with them on this one. I'm not kidding. I look at it and go, oh, that's bad. Like, what the hell's going on in my head now? But I think it's Bill trying to reaffirm to Brady what you have to do to win. You have to buy in. You got to buy in. So this is what it is, Tom. This is who we have. This is how we're going to have to do it. It's going to have to be Harry. It's going to have to be Sanu. It's going to have to be Myers if Edelman goes down. Interesting, by the way, did Philip Dorsett see the field?
Nope. I don't know if he even Saturday saw night? One snap.
I don't know why that just popped into my head, but like he didn't play at all.
No.
Right? I think he played some snaps, but I don't remember seeing him on the field. But in any case, this is what it's going to be. It's going to be Landon Roberts in the backfield playing fullback. It's going to be Sony Michel and Burkhead and White. And it's going to have to be Marshall Newhouse at right tackle when Cannon goes down. What else do you want to do? So do you want to win, try, or do you not want to try?
And bigger picture, I think it's not even just about the tools in just this particular game. But, I mean, for the vast majority of Brady's career, they won because of him. Right? You know, they would turn to him in their time of need and he would drive him down the field or what have you. Remember earlier in the season when, you know, game manager was such an offensive term?
Sure.
Like, I think it can mean that too. Like, Tom, that's not who we are anymore. That's not who you are as a player. That's not who we are as a team. We need you to be a game manager. We need you to be willing to do just enough and let other players on this team, other things on this team, guide us to a win. So it's not just, you know, throw to the young guys. It's know what your role is on this team. Know that it's not the same as it maybe once was. Accept that. Work within that. And if you do that, then we together as a team can win.
See, Murray, I think Brady's temperament has been better the last few games. Like, after the Houston game, I think, you know...
No, it feels to me like he's almost reached a level of acceptance. You saw that on the field because it's like, okay, it just can't keep being Edelman White. Those are the only two guys I really trust. I got to try to make it work with the rest of the suck.
Yeah, I mean, I think that... And I think this was Bill saying... this
Make
is
what, lemonade.
Yeah, this is what it is, Tom. And I think the message got through to Brady, and now all of a sudden they got results. And so he said, well, you know... We have to stick with it. We keep sticking with it. Maybe it comes together. And so I don't think it was a shot at Brady. I think it was him saying to Brady, see, if we do this, this will work. It'll work well enough. Tim's in Quincy. Go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, Matt, my only point that I have with you is for some reason you think the way he talks to these rookie receivers has some, affects their game. It doesn't affect Watson or Edelman that know the system. It's taken them this long to get to know the system.
Okay, well, there's no issue with Edelman. I mean, last week with Edelman looked bad, but some of that was probably related to Edelman's health, maybe Brady's health. I don't think there's any question that Brady and Edelman know the system. Watson hasn't been here in a while, and for whatever reason, they haven't thrown to him a ton. They threw to him a little more in this game, again, and they threw to Lacoste. I feel like they should be thrown to the tight end four or five times a game. That's all. Doesn't have to be a ton more than that. But just let the defense know that you're willing to do it. And I would say the same thing of Burkhead and White and the receivers. Harry only had two catches in this game again. It was only three targets, yeah. But they ran it to him a couple of times. And so they got him involved. They got everybody involved. And I think that some of that starts with Brady. Some of that. Again, if Brady's involved, if Brady's engaged... And Brady's willing to understand that there are going to be some mistakes. I think that they have a higher upside. Joe's in Providence. Go ahead, Joe.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Happy holidays.
You too.
I was just wondering, if you're thinking that they can keep it, you know, moving forward and everything with the way they're clicking right now, you know, coming off this Buffalo win and everything like that. I want to know what you guys think moving forward as far as the offense. I know they look good, but, you know, can they keep it up? And basically what you guys are talking about with Brady and you know, him, you know, probably not having the confidence with these guys, you know, this season and everything like that. I always think back to him over the years always being able to throw to, you know, known name guys and everything like that, you know, and always having that ability to make the people around him better. And, you know, maybe he lost that somewhere along the way this season, but if he's, you know, starting to pick it back up now and, you know, getting the confidence back in these guys, you know, I think that's probably pretty strong moving forward. And, you know, just see what you guys think about that.
Yeah, Murray, is the offense sustainable? Or let me rephrase it. Because it is if they all do the same things again. My question is, do you believe they can repeat it?
No, I need to see more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm with you. I look at it and I say,
the bigger sample size has been the struggle, and I know people can then point to last year because they did that same kind of thing last year. I need to see more. And that includes this week against Miami.
Of course. Otherwise, it's just a one-off thing, and what good is that? And I think that Brady's comments after the game reflected that. Again, you know, Brady, the one comment he made to Karen Garrigan of the Herald, which followed up a similar question from Tom Curran of NBC Sports Boston. And I think Billy's pulling it up. Billy, let's grab the one that the Karen Garrigan exchange. She asked him, you know, you can hear the question. Go ahead.
Given all the things that did go well offensively today, is this something that you can carry over into the next game? Does it give you confidence? Is it something that you can truly build on?
Yeah, I think it was, you know, more balanced than we've been, and we ran the ball good and effectively against a really good defense. So that's always good. You know, I think one game doesn't always necessarily lead to the next. So I think you just have to, you know, you just have to keep building, you know, week to week on some things that maybe we did good that worked out, and the things that didn't, you kind of move on from them. But we knew that it was going to be a tough test. And, you know, we got the ball. We turned, I think we lost the turnover battle. I don't think they turned it over. And we lost one and then missed the fourth down opportunity before half. So hate to have those things happen, but glad we overcame it.
Doesn't always carry over from one game to the next. And then he makes a point of noting that they fumbled once and didn't convert on fourth down. So look, this is the perfectionist in him. This is why Brady is who he is. But I also think that he, too, still has doubts. I have doubts.
Yeah, and he should. There's a sense of realism there. Yeah, one game doesn't always lead to the next. That's a nice way of saying, let's not forget, Karen, and the rest of you. I'm still surrounded by a lot of suck here. So let's see if we can keep it going.
Or alternatively, I'm still very old and semi-broken at this
Or that
point.
Too, yeah.
Matt in Westfield wants to touch on the NFC playoffs, which we're going to allow, given that it's Christmas Eve Eve. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, guys. I just want to say Merry Christmas.
You too.
Yeah, I know we're all rooting for the Pats, but I was just curious to see what you guys thought about the NFC. I'm kind of a big Vikings fan, so I'm rooting for them tonight. But yeah, I wonder what your guys' thoughts are.
Okay, might be the only Vikings fan in New England. Go ahead, Murray. What do you got?
It's Kirk Cousins on Monday night, so that's a loss. Sorry. and I unfortunately think the Seahawks are done. They took an absolute beating in their loss, a pathetic loss to Arizona yesterday. They're down to their third-string running back. They're bringing Marshawn Lynch in. So congrats to the Niners, Maz. They're probably going to end up being the one seed.
Well, look, again, it's just hard for the Seahawks to win without a real running game, right? It's just what they're built on. I mean, when I say hard, for the quarterback can carry him. Don't get me wrong. But you need something back there. I don't know. I wouldn't count them out quite yet. But it does feel like they're pretty battered there in the backfield. In any case, Bill Belichick on Tom Brady. That wasn't the only thing. What we played for you was not the only thing that Belichick said about Brady. He had another comment that I thought was, again, interesting and relatively rare. Relatively rare when it comes to his quarterback. We'll play that for you after Marshall gets you caught up on headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Listening to Felger and Mass.
Doesn't always have to be ha ha hee hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've all seen Tom play a lot of his best football in the most critical games of the year, in those critical situations in those games. And, you know, nobody prepares harder than Tom does. And he was ready to go. Got a lot of help from the running game, the offensive line, the receivers. But as you said, he was on the money. He was sharp. And again, that's what we need from everybody. It's this time of year, so we gotta play like this every week. And our season's going to end quickly, so we all know that. And nobody knows it better than he does. And he prepares and works as hard or harder than anybody to make sure that he's at his best. And he certainly was today. He had a good day today.
Sound like much. I mean, Bill Belichick basically just saying, yeah, you know, Brady had a good day today. But he typically throws around compliments like manhole covers. And Brady doesn't typically, or Belichick doesn't typically, you know, when he's asked about the quarterback play, he gives you some sort of cliche or team, you know, team answer, or yeah, it was good, you know, a lot of elements involved, or yeah, it was fine.
Do you think he'll be player of the week? Isn't that the thing that Brady was all upset he never got? Player of the week, or the game ball, or whatever it was?
Oh, he got one earlier in the year, though. He got one against the Giants. I think that was he passed some sort of yardage record or something that night. Remember?
Yeah.
I don't even remember what
the hell
it was. I don't know
what it was, but I know he got the game ball.
Yeah, Belichick gave him the game ball. I don't know. I think with everything that's gone on, that comment meant more. I mean, to me, again, timing's everything, right? It all matters when it comes and what the circumstances are. Hell, Belichick says it's game to game. You play every week, you have a certain kind of game plan. I think the same is true of his comments. When he says something and the circumstances he says it are important. And in this case, I think, you know, Brady's had a rough year. And I don't mean play-wise. I mean in terms of been a hard year to play quarterback for the Patriots. And so Bill's pointing out that, yep, you know, Tom came through in this one. He usually does in the big ones, but he had a good game today. And I think it was his way of saying to Brady, I noticed you do your part and you just, let's hope the other guys do theirs. But their chances are better if you do yours. Jay's in Grafton. Billy, I locked up here. So if you punch up Jay on line 3, if you would. Jay, what do you got?
Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys. Everyone's missing the point on the success of the Pats running game Saturday against Buffalo. It wasn't a Landon Roberts. It wasn't Sony Michel. It was an effective passing game. That's what opens up the run. You can't jam 8 guys in the box when you're throwing the ball effectively, and they haven't done that all year. Merry Christmas, and I'll hang up and listen.
Well, thanks. So, yeah, Jay, I think a lot of people would tell you the opposite, that their ability to run the ball allowed for them to pass it. And yet,
instead of play action. And
yeah, and I think this offense is going to need some attempt to run in order to be more effective in the pass game. Okay, so they were able to throw, and again, this is like the chicken and egg, which led to the other. But, I mean, I slice it up however you want, Murray. It's indisputable that they did both well in this game, and there have been very few games this year where that has happened.
Yeah, and I really do believe the Landon Roberts thing actually was a factor as well. I thought it was gimmicky initially when they first started doing it. It's like, okay, we don't have a fullback. Maybe we have to just put a big body out there. Well, let's use a Landon so that Sony Michel feels a little bit more comfortable. Well, that was his best game of the year, Michelle's, because he does. He needs a lead blocker to pick up some yards. And I think, you know, give it more to Rex Burkhead, too. These last couple of weeks, he's ran really hard. He bowled over Matt Milano at the goal line there. It was a ballsy touchdown that he had. So, yeah, maybe they found something here. I don't know if it's going to be as good as it was last year, but the running game is imperative if this team is going to go deep.
So, Murray, way back when, I mean, you know, several weeks ago, when they put a couple of players on IR and they could designate 2 to come back, Devlin, Wynn, Harry, we all put Devlin 3rd. So, you know, and again, I think this is now borne out, by the way. I think you look at it and you say, well, they don't need Devlin. They can put a Landon Roberts, a freaking linebacker, back there.
Yeah, based on what I had read and heard, though, Devlin doesn't have like a really bad neck injury. Like, he was done for the year. He wasn't coming back.
No, but I mean just in terms of importance to the team. Like, you know, which of the guys they couldn't live without?
Yeah.
And I think we generally agreed, at least on this show, that
it was Wynn and Harry.
It was Wynn and Harry. Of those two, which one do you think is more important now?
Oh, no, it's still Wynn. It's Wynn, because even though he's had up and down since he's come back, I mean, he's still better than Marshall Newhouse at left tackle.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think it's Wynn, too. Billy, again, my call screener is locked up. How many guys do we have up there? How many people? 2? What lines? 1?
Can we nuke this software for Christmas?
Seriously, it
gets worse by the day.
Is that Billy in Springfield? Yeah, punch him up. What the hell? Go. Billy, hello. What do you got? You there?
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Okay, what do you got?
Okay, so
I feel like if the Patriots are going to make it to the Super Bowl, they're going to have to beat the Ravens at some point. And that quarterback is a heck of an athlete. He's a pure athlete. You got to stop him. If you don't stop him, you don't beat them. And I think with my idea, you got to have a really good defense to do this. I think the Patriots are good enough. I think you need to take your...
Okay, Billy, hang on 1 second. Billy, go ahead and drop Billy. Thanks for telling me that the Ravens are good.
Yeah. Wait, that quarterback's an athlete? What now?
Who's the other caller that's up there, Billy? Can we try that one? Steve in a car wants to talk about Brady. Go ahead, Steve.
Hey, you guys hit the nail right on the head. You know, when it comes to Brady, Brady's going to have to suck it up and start working with what he has. And when it comes to the defense, they're going to have to stop the tight end down the field like we used to do with Gronkowski and the back out of the backfield. Everybody's starting to beat him that way, beat him with the long ball, everything. You guys have nailed it. It's the hard truth, and they're going to have to face it if they really want to win.
Okay, Steve, thanks for the call. So, again, look, the defense didn't have a horrible game on Saturday night. But what did alarm me was the big plays, and I didn't think of it in those terms either. But obviously, Houston was able to throw the ball down the field on him. Houston had some big plays. What other ones am I missing, Murray? Are there more?
Kansas City and...
Kansas City, right. There was another one in that one. That was the Hardman pass play.
Yeah, and Baltimore.
Yeah.
But with tight ends, though, he's right, but I mean, it's any team. But these bigger tight ends, even this Knox kid who's 6'4", and again, went a handful of picks after Damian Harris, who was a healthy scratch again on Saturday. Pat Chung, I love, but he's almost been like a liability in pass coverage against some of these bigger tight ends, and he was again on Saturday. So that they got to clean up, you know, because you're going to have to deal with Andrews with Baltimore and obviously with Kelsey with Kansas City. You know, like that feels like a weakness for this defense.
Excited are you going to be should Damian Harris ever actually play in a game?
This is the week. Yeah, you know, you need to rest some of these guys, right? You still need the game. If there's going to be a game that Damian Harris I would like to think could get into, maybe it's this final week against Miami.
Forget it, Murray. He's buried. It's over. Damian Harris isn't going to see the light of day. You got no shot of that happening.
Red-shirted for the year.
I think he's cooked. That's what I think. I think he's done for the year. You're not going to see him until 2020.
Hell of a draft pick.
Final word is next. And from what I understand, Billy, we have a best of. Is that what we have? Best of Squeaky Maz and Mad Mike? Okay, that's coming up next in the final word.
Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The final word is being brought to you by Town Fair Tire. For the guaranteed lowest price on tires, go to Town Fair Tire because nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody.
Nobody. All right, it's that time of year, end of the year. And that, of course, means we get to hear about all the greatness that you guys had previous to now during the year. A best of Squeaky Maz on one of his favorite Red Sox players, one Christopher Sale.
Sale? If he were healthy and the same guy, $30 million, you're right, is going right. That's not a bad deal. He sucked in year one, and he sucked in year zero before he even got to year one, and now he's damaged goods going into year one. I mean, you feel good about that. I can't help you.
I just don't understand how you can justify the extension. He missed the second half of last year. They told us nothing was wrong, and then he got hurt as soon as he started to ramp it up again. And I don't care if it's an elbow or not. The guy was a time bomb. Sale suck year one, actually year zero. The guy was a time bomb. Got hurt as soon as he ramped it up again. The guy was a time bomb. For crying out loud, how do you justify that? me, many of us said in the spring, mistake. Mistake, they should have waited till the end of the year. Now it happens that way, we're going to sit here and not pound the chest a little bit? It was a stupid mistake.
Saying it's a mistake.
For crying out loud, how do you justify that?
It's a mistake.
Many of us said in the spring, mistake.
It's a mistake.
Mistake, they should have waited till the end of the year.
It's a mistake.
It was a stupid mistake.
The other thing I would just quibble with on Sale, he's the fastest to how many strikeouts?
2,000, who cares? He missed the second half of last year. The guy was a time bomb. It was a stupid mistake.
Wow. Didn't you predict that the Red Sox would actually do something by Christmas?
I did.
Yeah, that's that clock is also ticking.
Well, I still got about 36 hours here. Oh, not quite. 30 hours here, Murray.
Feel good about that?
Nope. Nope. And for a guy who didn't give a rat's ass about that record, I sure knew what it was pretty fast, didn't I? All right, go ahead. What do you got, Marshall?
Now we make our way over to Mad Mike, Antonio Brown and his money.
Tony and Stoneham, what do you got?
Hey, guys, I don't understand you guys at all, really. What do you care about the money for?
I don't.
I mean, it's not, I don't care personally about it, but I think it's a key part of the story.
Why is it even being talked about?
I think it's a key part of the story, Tony, don't you?
All right, key part of the story. And the other thing is, you complain about how much he played in the other game. Why do you want him in there in the second half?
I'm not complaining. I'm just telling you again what happened. He only played 20-something snaps.
There's no competition with that.
Well, Tony, why was Brady and Edelman and everyone else in there?
Because all right. You just got to, you know, I'm sorry that you came from Minnesota. You had, what, 3 or 4 championships?
Wisconsin, baby, Wisconsin. That's the worst thing you can say to me. That's such an insult, Minnesota. What, are you some gopher? Some rodent? Come on, Tony. Wisconsin, badger.
He's a badger, and he does the badger boogie.
Much better. Wisconsin, not Minnesota. That's insulting. Now we're hitting below the belt.
All right.
And I'm not complaining about the 24 snaps.
I'm not complaining either. It's just Gopher? You'll lump me in with those creeps. Wisconsin, badger.
I don't understand you guys at all, really.
Join the club.
How do I not remember that?
Oh, I do. The best part is when, how come Brady and Edelman were playing? Sounded like Pete Carroll, kind of like stumbling and bumbling all over himself. Before we get to Matt McCarthy, Marshall, I've been meaning to ask you.
Yes.
And, you know, this is a longer conversation, but you're a big baseball guy.
Yeah.
Would you trade Mookie Betts?
They're going to know better than I. If they can't re-sign him, then yes, 100%. I mean, because that's what it comes down to. It comes down to whether or not he is willing to sign an extension.
Okay,
if he's not, then yeah, trade him.
Okay, so let's say he is willing to sign an extension. I asked this the other day, and I think it's a significant point. Let's say he is willing to sign it, but in order to get him to sign it, you've got to give him a minimum of 10 years and $350 or something close to a Mike Trout deal. Are you doing it?
No.
So then you're trading him either way?
Yeah, I guess so.
Okay, see, so there you go. Matt McCarthy, you had already thought that out. Yeah, that's
pay the man. Pay the man. You're the Boston Red Sox. He's one of the top 3 or 5 best players in baseball. Wherever you want to put him on the list, you're the Boston Red Sox. Pay the man.
He's overrated. Please. He's overrated.
I don't care if he's overrated. Still pay the man.
He's
overrated. You're the Red Sox. You're not the Tampa Bay Rays. Stop operating this team like you're the Tampa Bay Rays. Stop crying poor, John Henry. You're doing just fine.
Is that what you said about Chris Sale? Is that what you said about David Price? Those things don't look so good right now.
Yeah, he's a position player.
Oh, all right.
It's different.
Well, that makes all the difference in the world.
It does. Carl Crawford
looked pretty good at his price tag.
Yeah, it does. It does make
McCarthy. Would your girlfriend be listening right now?
She might be.
What's her name again?
Ainsley.
Yeah, her name is Ainsley.
Yeah. Ainsley, you got to keep her in, Matt, because here's the thing. I saw it over the weekend on Twitter, on Matt McCarthy's Twitter. What is it again? At Matt McCarthy
985.
She gave you a great gift.
Unbelievable.
I love that gift. Can I borrow it?
The best Christmas gift I think I have ever received.
Oh, I miss this. What was it?
It was a home Mo Vaughn Red Sox jersey, but here's why you're a keeper, because I have such OCD. It shouldn't say Vaughn on it. It says the name. The home Red Sox jersey, it just has the number, not the name. And I would think of it the whole time like, oh, she screwed up. This is a great idea, but why does it say Vaughn? It's not right. It's not correct. Even looking at the photo, Matt, it drove me nuts. I'm like, that's a great gift in theory, but she screwed up.
No, I think it's perfect. And here's why.
You're lying.
No, I'm definitely not. I'm definitely not
lying.
Love
you, hon.
And you know that I'm a baseball traditionalist. Every single year, they now wear the 42 on Jackie Robinson Day. So we get those 42 Red Sox jerseys. Having the Vaughn across the back, I love, because it's been 20 years. How many people know who Mo Vaughn is anymore? Believe it or not. And he's my all-time favorite baseball player. Because, I mean, listen, if you grew up in the 90s, you idolized Mo Vaughn, and he's my absolute hero. To have that Vaughn on the back, I'm freaking out. It's the greatest gift I've ever received.
Well, that's scary to
me.
That nobody knows who Mo Vaughn is anymore.
It's true, though, Matt.
That's terrifying, isn't it?
That's just mental gymnastics he's playing. But it's a hell of a gift. But Ainsley, you got to keep her, because if that was me, if I was Matt, I'd be like, great, you screwed up.
You people have problems. Oh, my God. It's incredible. I love the gift.
Who's in with you tonight?
It's just me.
Just you flying solo?
Flying solo.
And updates?
That's right.
Can I stay for a while?
It's that time. Marshall, you can stay as long as you want tonight. That time of year.
Christmas Eve, and I thought I was the loser out of work this afternoon.
Are you going to be tuning in tomorrow at 10 a.m. when Tim and Kona and I begin a four-hour stint?
No, I'm going to pass on that one, Marshall, I think. Well, I thought I got porked. McCarthy really got the rusty pipe, didn't he? Holy crap. All right. Thanks to Billy Lanny. And Brian Robb back there for producing today. Marshall for filling in. Murray, thank you.
You as well. Merry Christmas.
And you too, Murray. And to all of our listeners, happy, healthy, safe holiday season to all of you. Obviously, a lot of people going to be running around. A lot of people taking time off in the coming days. We look forward to seeing you down the road, which is probably going to be in 2020. I can't lie to you. Happy holidays. We'll see you later.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.